Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to the Niler 9 podcast. It's episode 107 of the Niler 9 podcast. This is myself speaking, Niler 9, and I am accompanied as ever by Andrea Cleary.
Hello. Hi.
That is your cue, as you know.
It's me speaking. I never get that cue. Hi. Hello.
You do, actually. You do get
do
the
I?
Cue.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Nailed it.
We are talking over Zoom, as is our custom in 2020. We no longer meet in rooms in real life. We discuss things online, like we're 15 on message boards, except for there's video and professional audio services. And
we should make a forum.
I've thought about that in the past, but then I was like, oh, forums suck.
Yeah.
They just
develop. Twitter is basically a forum when you just log in and feel unhappy.
That's it. Yeah. So what are we going to be discussing on this week's podcast? We are going to be talking about Roisin Murphy's fifth full-length album, Roisin Machine. That was our album up for review this week. We will be talking about songs from Romy, from the XX. We've also got some Tune Yards and an Irish collaboration to discuss as well. Yeah, and bits in between, I would say. And we're recording this again in the morning, which is still such a novelty for me, and I'm sure you, Andrea.
I'm liking it. This is
we usually
great.
Record a podcast after the end of the day when we're all wrecked. So less.
No, because I think today, like music-wise, we have a very high energy podcast.
Do you think so? That's why?
Yeah. Well, I'm pumped for it now. It's like there's no Fleet Foxes in here. There's no Bonnie there. There's nothing calm. This is like all go all the time. So probably best to do it in the morning when we have energy.
Yeah. Well, did you listen to the Fleet Foxes album in the end?
I did. Yeah. I went for a nice long walk with it and I really, really liked it. It's nice. Very pretty.
I had a lovely drive with it.
Oh, very nice.
So that was nice. A lovely drive in a very autumnal weather, mm-hmm. which I know you're a fan of.
Oh, it's just gorgeous at the moment. It's like I was out this morning for a run, no big deal. And it was like that kind of, it was cold. It was like 6 degrees, but it was really sunny. And
that's my
there were leaves
weather.
And yeah. Oh God, it was just gorgeous. It was so, so nice. I love this time of year. I love it. I don't really go outside in the summer very much. I'm not a summer person at all. But once it starts getting cold and there's days like today, I'm like, yes, get me out. Get me out in the sun. Eat a leaf.
Yeah. Yeah. I do love this weather. But then I am an autumnal person. I was... I celebrated my birthday this week, so
you did.
You know, it chimes
the big
with
2-5.
Yes.
Ish.
Yes. Yeah, it's great. Weird not to be able to do anything for your birthday, but still, very nice to be able to do a little bit.
Yeah.
Anything interesting happening in the world of Andrea Cleary?
Well, I can go into my reason to be cheerful. My reason to be cheerful this week is that, and I think I'm a week late actually with this, but the Great British Bake Off is back. And Tuesday nights have just been like unbelievable telly nights now. So you've got Bake Off at 8 o'clock. After Bake Off, Sandy Tosvig did a program about teaching. It was just a two-parter, so it's over now. It was on last week and this week. It's about teaching adults in the UK how to read and write if they've had like reading and writing difficulties. And okay. It was just so like warming and inspiring and amazing, and she's just the queen of the world and I love her. And then after that, it's the UK Gogglebox. So it's just, it's banger after banger on Tuesday nights on Channel 4. Like, get amongst it.
Like, so yeah, you're really settling into the autumnal staying in.
Oh yeah, there. Yeah. And I made a... I made an apple crumble. It was my first time ever making an apple crumble on Sunday night, and or right. Sunday during the day. And like, I don't want to brag, but I absolutely nailed it. Like, it was the most delicious thing I've ever eaten in my life. With a bit of
nice,
bit of vanilla ice cream. It was really good. So this week, I think I'm going to make a blueberry pie, and wow. Just you're yeah, refined. I'm going to go into pie making, celebrating Bake Off. Do you watch Bake Off, Niall? Sorry,
well,
I asked
funny
you,
you should ask,
while
because
you took
literally my friends were talking about it on the WhatsApp group last week, and I was like, I don't think I've ever watched a full episode of Bake Off. So I did last week.
Hey.
And because it was all the cake heads, the headbus thing, which looked gas, and I was like, yeah. This is like Blink-182's Tom DeLonge as a cake. I was like, what is this? Okay, so I watched it. I had a great time. I'm fully on board with it now. I'm like, I'm going to
yes.
watch this.
I'm so
like,
happy.
I'm enjoying this. And I think it really helps for me that I like, I'm not a, like a huge like cake or sweet tooth person.
You don't need to be. You don't need
I know,
to be.
But it doesn't like, I would imagine if I really liked it, I just want to make me want to eat stuff all the time.
but no, I swear to God, give it 2 weeks and you'll be sitting on your couch just going, oh my God, that's not going to rise. I don't know what she thinks she's doing taking that out of the oven at this point. There's no way that's going to rise.
Oh,
that's
going
to have a soggy
bottom. There's no snap on that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Oh, there's going to be no snap on that now. There's far too much butter in that. You become an expert. Like, it's so funny. Armchair baking.
Yeah, it's actually, it's a simple pleasure. And a lovely reality show, I think. So I've been really enjoying it. It's a whole new thing to me. I know I'm like, what, 10 years late to it?
Yeah. But, you can definitely go back and watch the old ones as well.
Listen, who are you talking? I've already started.
Have you? Brilliant.
Yeah, I was like, why not?
It's so good. It's so good.
Good fun. Okay, my reason to be cheerful this week is a little more serious, but also very useful in its own way. You know, you may have heard about the Minding Creative Minds services, which were launched at the start of this year, or start of the pandemic, essentially, really April or May. Minding Creative Minds is basically a suite of services that enable artists, songwriters, music managers, and event personnel to access certain services like mental health services, advice, legal advice, stuff like that, all basically to help with the life coaching, financial assistance, counseling, career guidance. Obviously, very pertinent in the pandemic when nobody can actually do anything no one can do their job, and anyone like I'll be honest, I felt I haven't contacted these guys because I have a therapist myself, but I have felt, you know, like suffering from a lack of identity when you can't do the things that, you know, you are defined by, or, you know, you would associate with your identity. So I found that a struggle myself. So I understand, but I think this came as a really good time, because it was basically offering free services for anyone. The good news this week is that they've opened the Minding Creative Minds services to everybody in the music industry in Ireland. So that anyone who works in music at all, venue staff, music marketing, PR, admin, anyone who does anything in Ireland or abroad, Minding Creative Minds is available as a free service. So if you want to talk to somebody and you don't can't afford it, which is often maybe one of the things that stops people, you know, accessing therapy or talking to somebody in terms of counseling, they are currently offering free chats and therapy and counseling and legal advice and all that kind of stuff. So mindingcreativeminds.ie, do have a look at that if it's something that you think would be useful for yourself, if you're finding it hard, if you're a musician or an artist or a manager or whatever it is. And you know, the last 6 months have been really tough for a lot of people, and there's no end in sight necessarily, but there is, I don't know, there's some feeling of brightness at the moment, I have anyway, and I don't know where it's coming from, so I'm just going to go with it. even though I can't do gigs or do anything at all, it's a hard thing to be able to cope with not being able to do what you love. And so MindingCreativeMinds.ie is a great service for anyone who maybe needs a chat to somebody, or is feeling a lot of anxiety or stress, or needs some legal assistance, financial assistance, career guidance, all that kind of stuff. So it is, I think it's just a really great tool, and it came around at really the right time, because and it clearly a success, because it opened up to the rest of the industry as well. So I think that's really, really useful. So that's my reason to be cheerful this week.
Great bunch of lads.
Okay, we are not going to waste time, but we are going to go straight into the album of the week. Look, we already call her a queen, so we know her, where we're coming from most of the time with Roisin Murphy. But a long and distinguished career and nowhere near finished. We have an album here called Roisin Machine. I'm going to play a song from it here called Something More, and we'll come back in. A crown upon my head, 10 roses in my bed. So Roisin Murphy's new album, Roisin Machine, is out this Friday, October 2nd, her first full-length album since Hairless Toys in 2015, and then 2016's Take Her Up to Monto. Fifth solo album overall. Obviously, Roisin Murphy was in Moloko back in the day, a long career known for her being kind of a disco queen, kind of cool house, straddling somewhere between house and disco, an artful artist, one that is ultra cool and knowledgeable of fashion and trends, and uses them in a way that most pop stars in the past have, but on her own terms. Very much a distinguished and I wouldn't say cult pop artist, but certainly has a cult following. And I think Roisin Machine is an interesting one, because it actually is, she's done this before, where she's teamed up with producers, like the EP she did where it was all kind of Italian songs from a few years ago. And this one, Roisin Machine, is 10 tracks made with one of her collaborators, Crooked Man, who's a DJ and producer. What's interesting as well is that some of these songs go back to 2011 to 2012. They've been out quite a while. But so I was a bit wary of it when I realised that, because I was like, oh, new Roisin Murphy album, great. And I loved that. For me, like the last two albums, there's some great stuff on Hairless Toys and Take Her Up to Monto, but I think she's at her best when she's doing this kind of stuff, when she's doing disco and dance music, like her first solo album, or second solo album. And that's my favorite Roisin Murphy. So look, I think this is great. And I think even though some of these songs were released back ages ago, I think they've done a great job of seamlessly bringing them together. 10 tracks only four of these songs hadn't been heard before, if you count the singles that were previously released. So we got Incapable, Murphy's Law, Narcissist, Jealousy, Simulation, and something more, which you heard there. So I was, when I first realized that, I was like, oh, I don't know if this is this is just like a collection of music. But the more I listen to it, the more I feel like it is a complete album. It is something that kind of sits really well together. And I'm now really glad I pre-ordered it on vinyl.
Yeah, I mean, Roisin Murphy's just one of those artists, I think, who sort of should be a household name. And in certain households, she is. But I know for like a lot of her fans, it's like, well, why isn't she topping charts every time she releases something? And I mean, she certainly has had like chart success, but just like she's a genius, and she is such a creative person, and like you said, has such a kind of artful way of approaching music. Like, it's not just music that she's approaching, she's approaching things like visually as well, and she's got a very honed sense of what her own style and what her own aesthetic is. So it means that she can kind of move around in that. She can do the kind of take her up to Monto more experimental stuff, and she can also do this Roisin Machine kind of decade in the making disco bangers released in the middle of a pandemic and still managing to make sense to us. I think this album is just astonishing in how much it kind of leans into its own narrative. Like, it's sort of at once quite a self-conscious album, but it's coming at self-consciousness, or it's being the act of being self-conscious with a kind of mature slant, you know. Like, she's talking about on it the kind of the monotony and repetition of life, which is something that we can all kind of understand, you know, the line on I can't remember which one it is, where she's saying, keep waking up at 6 a.m, getting up, doing it all again. That's just like, you know, we can completely understand where she's coming from in that. And then obviously there's like this line on it, how dare you sentence me to a lifetime without dancing when my body's made for feeling. I don't know if that line was written during the pandemic or not, but it's hard to find something that kind of sums up what even we were talking about earlier about being in a creative industry and being people who rely on music and rely on dance and rely on finding other people in that space to feel alive and to feel like we're part of something. And I think that just sums it up so beautifully. And it's just like it is an album of bangers. But that's not usually enough to kind of draw me in, because I'm not like the biggest dance and house music fan. Like, I like what I like, and the rest of it I can kind of take or leave. But I think it's those kind of like philosophical moments that she peppers throughout that really, really draw me in to the story of this album and to want to listen to this woman who is so assured of herself. I'm like, I want to learn how you do that. how did you manage to get here? So I think it's astounding. I really, really love it.
Yeah, interestingly, that song Something More was definitely influenced by the lockdown and pandemic stuff. It's a song that was written with Amy Douglas, who is a singer-songwriter who's worked with like disco trio Horsemeat Disco and stuff like that before. And they met at a talk in London, and they said the first version was very straight ahead, pop, funky, very camp. And it seemed right before lockdown, but as new reality descended upon the world, we got tired of its one and only dimension. And so when this slow burn, deep soulful groove emerged out of the remixes, I decided to change tact. It seemed perfect. Perfect range for the song, and also perfect for the moment. We're in darker ages now, and this feels like morning. The sun's coming up, and it's the last record of a very, very good night. We need space for mood and the uncanny right now. And I think that's it. Like, there's nothing about Roisin Murphy's music that's ever been one dimensional. Mm. And I think there probably are people who would dismiss the kind of music she makes as like, you know, fun dance music, whatever. But like, she's always saying something. She's always addressing topics, maybe even like, you know, like they might be quite, you know, obvious ones, or like narcissism or jealousy and stuff like that. Or Murphy's Law, which is just like a really simple story of seeing somebody on a night out who you don't want to see. And also a great title. And there's an element of what she does that is just so much like, you know, Grace Jones would be an obvious influence, but she's doing like When We Got Together. It does sound like a kind of that Grace Jones doing electro kind of thing. That's because Roisin Murphy has personality, and she has, she's not just a voice, and she has thoughts and feelings, and she always puts that across. And even if she's not saying an awful lot, I always feel like she has a lot to say with little. And the other thing about her is, and I think it's interesting that some of these songs were released nearly 10 years ago now. She's always been really versatile in terms of being the kind of artist who can make remixes and different edits and extended versions of all these songs. So really, like this album version, these are like album versions of these songs. There's, if you take Simulation, for example, there's an amazing Manon Lathuff remix of that song that's been going around for years. She's the kind of artist that does a house and a disco version of the same song. And she's totally able to do it because that's what she does. That's what she does. That's how she does it. She is able to adapt and change. And I think with Crooked Man, the producer, if you look at the remixes and a lot of things that came out in advance of Roisin Machine, there's a lot of things here that were either remixed a lot of things were like extended, like 12-inch cuts. If you look at the Narcissist Crooked Man remixes, there's like a disco version, a droney version, a crooked version, a string version. So that's the kind of thing that her music and her voice is really suitable for. Just, you know, adaption and taking different shades and different, like even something more, the remixes that came out recently, there's a light and a dark and a dirty and then a dub version. So I think that versatility is always there for her. I think that's why I'll always come back to her. And that's why I think she's brilliant. Did you watch the Something More video? Did you see that one from last week? There's a video she put up last week, which is, it's kind of like a live stream video, but it's not really. It's like she's in Ibiza in a house, and it's kind of like that morning thing she's talking about. Like there's bottles of wine on the table and it's bright and she's wearing a flowy dress and then walks outside and there's a drone and she ends up jumping into a swimming pool at the end before petting a horse and all this kind of stuff. It's really cool. It's just like, that's the kind of thing she does. She's just effortlessly cool at it, but obviously there's a lot of effort to make you look so effortless. And I think that's the same with this kind of music as well. There's a lot of effort. There's a lot of time put into this. I love that when she came and did Narcissus on, I think it was The Late Late or something last year. She did it on some RT program last year, and she got the, like, demanded, basically, I won't do it unless I get a concert orchestra in to do it. You know what I mean? So like, she is an artist that has ambition that many artists would crave for. And I think that's why I think she's absolutely brilliant. So I actually did, I'm going to share it. I mean, when I'm sharing it today on the Patreon, patreon.com/909, if you want to join from a fiver a month. I did a playlist. Actually, I did a playlist a number of years ago, 2014, of Roisin Murphy songs. I've updated it now and kind of a best of Roisin Murphy. So there's like 30 something songs on it. And the thing about Roisin for me is that in the last couple of years, since I thought she was to take her up to Monto period was interesting, but my favorite kind of Roisin Murphy has been the disco kind of vibe. And she's been doing so much of that in the last couple of years, and I'm never, ever sick of it. She's one of my favorite, absolutely one of my favorite voices in music. Like, there's a great song that I put on that playlist that she's the Handsome Boy Modeling School song called The Truth, I think from 2001. And she sings a verse on that, and it's just incredible. And I think she's not, if anything, she's underutilized in terms of by other people. I think I'd like to hear her sing with different kind of tones and different kind of art. And I'd love to hear more of that. But as it stands, I think Roisin Machine is a superb album, and certainly as the days are feeling a little bit lighter at the moment, I'm really finding this chiming well with how I'm feeling, and I'm going to be going back to this a lot this month, I think.
Good. Yeah, I think I'm going to be coming back to this a lot. I mean, I was listening to it while running this morning, and I was like, I don't remember the last time that I had this sort of feeling of like a lot of movement, a lot of like big beats in my ear, a lot of endorphins, and you know, it's a way of, I suppose, simulating that kind of club feeling and that being out feeling while you can't actually do it. So I do recommend if you're an exercisey person, definitely throw this in your ears while you're doing it, because it's a great motivator. Like there's really moments of brightness and moments of kind of levity on this that make you feel like, yeah, we will actually come through this and we will actually get to dance to these songs in some sweaty club at some point. But until then, you know, she's at least addressing the monotony and the, and I mean, like monotony and thing and repetition are things that can be addressed in very interesting ways, especially in dance music and house music, because of their very nature of like repetitive beats and things like that. And I think that she does that really, really well. Obviously, her voice is just singular. Like, I don't know anybody who sings like her, who has her style of singing voice. Like, you know her so instantly. And yeah, the further she gets into her career, the more I feel like we're all just starting to look up to her as this, like, just this, like, queen of music. And yeah.
I was thinking about this during the week, actually. I think Robin and Roisin Murphy, two voices that are so distinctive that no matter where you hear them, you're like, oh, that's Robin or that's Roisin Murphy. I think those two jumped to my mind about instant recognition. So, yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, she's brilliant.
Yeah, I think this is fantastic. And I would urge people to listen to, I mean, there are some like shorter edits of some of these songs on Spotify. Like the album is out tomorrow, but I would urge people to listen to this all the way through and to stick with the longer tracks. Like the opening track Simulation is 8 minutes and 30 seconds, but it really takes all of that time to kind of weave its narrative and to really introduce you to the rest of the album that to come. I think she uses her time very, very well on this record. Like it's 10 tracks, but they're all quite long. There's only one, I think, that's under 4 minutes, Incapable. And yeah, she
which
uses
also
her
has a very long version as well.
Yeah. So like she uses her time very, very well in this, and it's really, really worth going through it in one sitting, because you will definitely find a narrative to hold on to in it.
And what I love about it as well is that, you know, it always, you know, recalls some of the, you know, the thing about doing disco music is that you either update it or you do an old version. But I think she's always found a nice middle ground between, you know, using some authentic sounds of the era and then updating it with more electronic styles and techniques, and something she's always done. And I think with Crooked Man, this works really well. So I think, yeah, just thinking to even as well, the fact that some of the songs were released a long time ago, they all really work well together. You know, you think about the strings on Narcissus kind of thing that, you know, Nile Rodgers might use, or, you know, the, like, I love that, yeah, that slow burn, that like kind of languid, loungy disco vibe of Something More. And then like Kingdom of Ends, which is kind of like one of those big festival songs, big festival release. Funny, I think for homework, everybody should watch. There's a lovely version of Sing It Back, the song that obviously made Roisin Murphy and Moloko back in the day. It's from 2004, from a festival called Pink Pop. It's on YouTube. And the version is just like, it's nothing like the actual song. It's just like a 10-minute like workout, 10-minute jam, and Roisin Murphy going into credit. What it did make me feel was that, you know, she's running off stage and one of the guys from Aloco is like doing silly dances and like they're just riffing and but just watching those people, like her sitting, standing at the front of the audience and everyone, so many people at once, it's like it is that thing that isn't going to happen for a long time. And there was a sadness in that, but there was also a beauty in it as well. And I think that's a lot of what like disco and does to people. And you know, it's euphoria, but it's also there's something else in the background, maybe some melancholic experiences as well. And that's what I think, that's what I think disco does best. And I think that's what Roisin Murphy does really well here.
Yeah, I think my favorite kind of disco and my favorite kind of dance music is like really, really upbeat, but with very, very sad lyrics. I think Sing It Back does that really, really well. That kind of that yearning. And
there's always a yearning in like really good disco music. There should always be a yearning for something.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Something more.
And I think she's really, really fantastic at doing that, because you can be. Yeah, and I mean, I think Robin is somebody else who does it in that kind of similar way, maybe with more of a pop lilt, but yeah, queen, absolute queen. She's amazing.
All right, that's Roisin Machine from Roisin Murphy. Here's Simulation, the opening track. That was Roisin Murphy. Roisin Machine is the name of the album, out this Friday, October 2nd. And it's time for Songs of the Week. Our first track this week is from the XX's Romy, a solo single called Lifetime. And it's endless. There must be a love in my higher place. Closing my eyes and I still know the taste. That was Romy with Lifetime, a solo single from the X's a singer, Romy Madley Croft, and definitely in some elements of kind of 90s dance music going on there, which, you know, makes sense if Romy's been doing some DJing recently and did a Pride party and Home a Block last year, so has been doing a fair bit of that. So I guess it's not a surprise if you were paying attention that Romy would be releasing this. I guess maybe some people may have expected Romy to kind of be the moody one of the three. But no, not so. Has been making kind of this kind of upbeat day glow kind of dance music in the past. Also has been doing a lot of co-writes and actually co-wrote Dua Lipa's song Electricity and been writing songs with Mark Ronson and stuff like that. So there you go. Did you know that? Were you aware of that?
No, I didn't know that. I don't follow the XX very much. I feel like I just have a blind spot in my head that is the XX and everything that any of them do in their solo stuff. Like I know some songs, but I've just never really dived in. Dove in. Is dove a word? Dived in. Yeah, this is fun.
It's fine. It's fine. It's I included it this week to
high energy.
Yeah, I love the Jamie XX stuff, and that's more production based than dance stuff. This is more like
I think I know more of his stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, well, this is her first ever solo single, so
yeah,
she's a lot to catch up on. It's interesting that a band as moody and atmospheric as the XX in their solo projects basically make dance music all the time. And I wonder if that's to do with, like, you know, I think about this a lot in terms of bands that, you know, establish this sound when they're young and they do it, and then they feel like they kind of have to maybe stick to it a bit more. Mm. And then, but as they experience things and they... God forbid, maybe they take drugs somewhere and they have a good time. And, you know, well, look, this is what life is like. I'm not going to sugarcoat reality for you, Andrea. It's what happens. You know, and they have a good time and they go to good clubs and they get asked to DJ at places. You're like, and it kind of makes sense that you would end up kind of exploring those kind of rhythms and textures. So, yeah, I think it was an interesting one. I don't know if there's a huge longevity in it, but I think it's good that somebody who is, I don't know what this means for the XX album itself, if there is one on the way. It doesn't seem like
I sort of thought of this song like that AMAC song that we had a couple of weeks ago, where it's just like, I'm just going to try something different and something new, and I'm going to lean into whatever kind of cheesiness comes out of that, or whatever kind of campness or kitschiness comes out of it. And I get that kind of vision from this, which I do like, because I mean, I think that making music should be fun, and it sounds like she had a lot of fun making this. I don't know if it's like entirely for me, but that's fine, that's totally grand. But no, good for her, because yeah, I mean, I hadn't really thought about it like that, in terms of like breaking out of having a very singular, very moody sound, and maybe not wanting to lean into that during difficult times, and wanting to just kind of have a bit of fun. So
yeah, well, that's true. Good. Yeah, and this was recorded in lockdown, essentially. So I guess that means that the XX aren't planning on following up their 2017 album, I See You, anytime soon. Last time I really experienced them was those gigs in the Tivoli, which were great, actually. That was a really good, it was absolutely jammers. Jesus Christ. Thinking back now, you wouldn't have that anymore now. It was actually uncomfortably jammers at the time. Like, I was basically shoved up against the sound engineer's barrier, and quite uncomfortable.
Do you remember Julia Jacqueline and Whelan's? And I kept having to, like, every time somebody walked past, because I was like standing on the stairs, and every time somebody walked past, I had to like walk down two stairs and walk back up two stairs. And I was like, oh, it's so full.
Right. That is Romy with Lifetime. Our next song is a new discovery for me, and I'll tell you all about it in a second. It's called Workout Tonight. Get it on. That was Ultraflex. Song is called Workout Tonight. Who are Ultraflex? Well, I only found out yesterday that they're Icelandic-Norwegian duo. And it turns out they have previous form, with me anyway. One of the members is calls herself Special K, is also one of the members of Reykjavikudoitr, the Daughters of Reykjavik from Iceland.
Oh,
and then yeah. The other half of this Ultraflex group is Faro, F-A-R-A-O, from Norway. And I think this was in my emails actually this week, and I just put it on. I was like, that's a nice vibe. I like this. Definitely my kind of vibe. I love that kind of electronic pop, kind of electro, kind of throwback boogie stuff. Really nice. Some interesting lyrics on this.
Niall, I don't think they're talking about working out at all.
I think they are.
I think they're talking about quite bold stuff, actually. So,
yeah. Well,
just you know, warning to anybody with children.
Yeah,
this song is not as innocent as it seems.
Like, the lyrics include hormonal discharge, moist clothing, glue to the skin, physical pleasure. Sweating together. Yeah.
I don't think it's about all of that can happen in a gym. That's fine.
I don't think it's about a five-a-side game.
I don't think it is either.
Or a badminton, actually.
I think it's about dirty things, and they should be ashamed of themselves. This is such a vibe. It's such a buzz. It's really, really cheesy, and I like that. Yeah. It's so cheesy. Like, there's a bit at the very, very end where the guy in it is like, I can't remember what he says, but he's something like, oh, my spandex is like stuck to me. Let me just take it off. I'm just like, I love that.
Yes. Yeah, why not?
It's just such a, it's quite funny. It's quite a funny song, I think. And I found myself, I was having a little bop around to it. So, why not?
I listened to the album, actually, which is, there is an album out the end of October, 13th of October, Ultraflex, called Visions of Ultraflex. Fun. If you like that, you're gonna like the album, basically. Okay, time for a collaboration between Denise Chyla, Sorka Richardson, God Knows, and James Fiswick Morrow, and Connor Adams, and a couple of other people that I can't remember right now. This is called Out the Gaff. Took a trip in Ireland, nothing ever was the same. Not your lane, not your lala, Michael Chyla, change your game. I watch on my television, paintings in the gallery, God knows, looking down the lens. I was glued to my TV, I still was a sleeping city, we could sing a lullaby.
Fuck it up. Made it out the gaff and guess I'm free now. Demons on the corner think I'll turn around. When I try to talk they won't shut me down. But I promise it won't ever be the same no more.
I came to burn it down. Just give me the kingdom, I don't need a crown. I'll give you the blueprint, you can write this down. Look me in my eyes, honey, I'm the captain now. Your producer won't save you, your fashion won't save you. Stick to pay-per-view, this is my purview. I came to serve you a life sentence. And if you feel a way, you should go and pick a pen up. Trust me, anyone can be managing this. You are not controlling the damage or setting the standard. If you got an issue, you can write me up. If seeing you means believing optics looks sus. And if you want me to stop, you can pay me for my silence. You can pay me for my silence. You can pay me for my silence. You want me to stop? You can.
That is Out the Gaff, Denise Chyla, Sorka Richardson, God Knows, and James Fiswick Morrow on production. Dre, this is your choice this week, so I'll let you begin.
I think there needs to be some kind of intervention at some point, and we need to put Denise Chyla, Merle, and God Knows just for a little nap. And just like, just
they need
rest.
To go into isolation. Fuck's sake, lads.
Just
calm down. You know,
I just hope that they're getting enough sleep, because, oh my God, are they releasing bangers? Like, it just one after the other. Like, they are killing it this year. And I mean, this song is no exception. This is such a jam. Like, came out the same week as Merle's music video as well, which is just, again, so much energy.
To the Wheels Fall Off, shot in the home of Bows.
So
who
good.
Obviously have been brilliant in terms of supporting the likes of Massey by selling the Refugees Welcome shirt in aid of them as well.
It's beautiful. I really want to buy one.
Perfect place. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that music video is amazing. This is just, it's so high energy. It's so kind of, there's a bit of like, It's a bit of that kind of like call and response feeling to it. Everyone on it absolutely kills it. It's so good. It's just like it's an amazingly energetic tune, and I think it's fantastic and really, really great to hear something from Sorka Richardson as well, who made one of my favorite albums of last year. So
very different style for Sorka.
She sounds brilliant doing it. And you know, anything James Vincent McMorrow touches kind of turns to gold anyway. So this was always going to be a match made in heaven with all of these artists working together. But yeah, it's real good.
It took a while for this to grow on me.
Oh, did it? Okay.
Yeah. I wasn't sure about it at first. I think it's just the sort of reggaeton beat would be my buzz most of the time. And it's very, yeah, I would have liked more low end maybe, but I like it's a kind of a fun little ditty. It's like, it sounds like people having fun in a studio, and I think that was the intention.
Yeah.
I was like, Denise, you have a mixtape out next week. like this Friday called Go Brave. What are you doing? There's a song out this week. What? And then they were doing
the match. I'm not complaining. Like, this is
no. Well, I just like, they need a break, lads. You're going to burn out if you're not careful. But they also did the National Concert Hall show on Sunday. Did you manage to catch any of that?
No, not yet. I have it like lined up for me when I have a chance to watch it. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, they had they did this song towards the end, actually. It was nice to see Sork up there. I think it made more sense live. It was kind of a good buzz. Really nice. And a lot of the show was done with Denise, God knows, and Merle doing a live, kind of with a live band as well. Did I mention Merle that Merle's on this as well? Should have.
I think so. Of course. Yeah, I think we did. Of course I did.
Yeah. Anyway, so playing with a live band, like people like Zaska and members of Bark as well. And
Bark.
Bringing on.
You just leaned back and they went, Bark. Sorry.
bringing on PX Music, like Hazy Hayes and Citrus and Strange Boy and Gavin Da Vinci. So that was really interesting to see that in National Concert Hall. I did feel like, it just to be not so positive about it, it did feel like whoever was doing the lights didn't quite know what to do half the time.
Oh, really?
Because it was all shot quite far away, and because there's no cameras close, maybe because of COVID or whatever. But it did feel like it took me ages, but like, is there lights just on? Anyway, just a small thing. But it was good. It was like a 2-hour show or something. It was brilliant. It was really good. Hopefully we can put on that show with all of those people in March, April, whenever we're supposed to put it on. But I'm not holding up much hope for it. But we do have a plan to do one in Lost Lane with like 15 different people. So that's half the audience if social distancing stays in place.
That's all the audience by the current rules, I think. So
yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, well, okay, that is Denise Childog, Sark Richardson, God Knows Merle, James Vincent McMorrow. I think I did leave Merle out in the beginning. Apologies for that. Our final track of the week is from Tune Yards. Meryl Garbus is back. This is called Nowhere Man.
Nowhere to hide, nowhere to run, nowhere to hide.
That is Nowhere Man by Tune Yards, who are now Meryl Garbus and Nate Brenner, right? That's there's two people in. Yeah, it's not just Meryl Garbus. Is this from an album or just a once-off?
It's a once-off for now, but I'm really hoping that it's going to be. I haven't seen anything about an album coming just yet, but yeah, this is the first we've heard from Tune Yards since 2018's I Can Feel You Creep Into My Private Life, which is an album that I really, really like. It kind of dealt a lot with the idea of protest and white guilt and kind of dealing with difficult issues that are arising in America and the rest of the world. That, you know, we're all sorted out and now everything's fine. But no, she's back again with this song, which is a... she said about it, the song and the video, the music video is really, really great. It's like a kind of a Charlie Chaplin inspired video, which is very, the visuals in it are very cool. She said, they were created under conditions of feeling squeezed and pushed to the brink. I wanted to ask, how loudly do I have to shout and sing before I'm heard? The video asked too, what am I not hearing? We hope the music brings energy and a strong wind of encouragement to those who are shouting and singing loudly for justice right now. And I think she's always been really good at kind of getting quite complex ideas of politics and justice and protest into songs that are really, really high energy, really rhythmically complex, really kind of taking a lot of different input from different musics around the world. And she's very much kind of, I think, quite respectful of the musics that she borrows from as well. So it's really great to have a song from her this week, you know, especially after a really difficult time in America with Trump's
We don't have to go into that
and so on. I just think this comes at a really good time. It's quite a rallying cry for people who have had enough. And I think that it's something that she does really well. It's, again, a really, really high energy track. So I don't know what's in the water this week, but I feel like maybe people are just, you know, maybe it's just me. I'm just like, I've got a little bit of energy this week and I don't really know where to put it. So I'm going to put it into these songs. And I think this song is a really, really good way of kind of getting out a bit of that frustration and getting out a bit of that annoyance and anger about what is to come and what is happening. And she has always done that very, very well. So I would be really, really, really interested to hear what a Tune Yards in lockdown album would sound like. So I'm crossing my fingers and hoping that that we're going to get some kind of long play from her at some point.
Okay, very good. Tune Yards, one of the few artists to make me cry at a festival.
Oh yeah.
Primavera Sound, and now it would have probably be day two or three, and first artist I've seen that day. But it was her voice that did it for me.
She's incredible. She's an incredible woman.
At the start of gigs, that's like, you know, very guttural, very tribal, almost very primal kind of singing, and it did it to me. It did it to me.
Yeah.
Made me well up big time. So there you go.
I saw her once in it was somewhere small in Dublin. Might have been Tivoli. But she had a really bad time with the sound. It was disappointing. I mean, she was great. I should say they were great, but I mean she just owned it. But unfortunately, the sound just wasn't up to it, which is such a shame.
Yeah. Oh, well, that happens sometimes, but I take that now over anything else.
Yeah, yeah.
With regards to other listening this week, I have been a lot of albums released last week, so I was delving back into... I didn't go near Sufjan again because we did a lot of it for the... podcast last week, as reviewed the Ascension last week. Also, the week before, Pillow Queens was out. Pillow Queens album In Waiting, getting great reviews and really positive album. I've also just been listening to checking out, as I mentioned, Fleet Foxes' Isles. I don't think it's for me. It's all very one-dimensional, shouty, slow.
They've been saying some weird things in the press lately, and they're not making me want to go and listen to their album, to be honest. So I'm just opting out.
Yeah, it just
I was never really that interested in them in the first place. I remember like maybe at the start of the summer they released a song and I was like, okay, right, we were talking about it on the podcast and I was like, okay, I'll get into them. But I don't know, they've just been saying some weird stuff lately, so I'm like, maybe not.
Well, I just know they don't think it's quite as clever as they think they are sometimes, or maybe they don't think they're that clever at all, but like there's songs in the album where just, there's one called Anxiety, which is just like, I've got anxiety, and then there's another song where they're just singing the word consent. It's like, it's not very subtle at all. Yeah, it's fine. It is what it is. Sometimes you just want something like that that's kind of really upbeat and like, you know, I hear they're great live. Everyone tells me they're great live. Apparently they're great live. That Salt album arrived on vinyl shortly after the Jaipal album as well, actually, which
exciting.
Is great. Which I've also pre-ordered the second one, which came out 2 weeks ago. So I will have both by the end of the year, hopefully. And also, I almost forgot this was being released last week because there was so many albums out. The Keane Kavanagh Dog Person LP came out last Friday as well, on Softboy Records. A really really nice 10-track album, reaching some of the tracks that he's released before, like Coca-Cola Sky and Emma and Rollover. I think it's a good vibe going on there. What about yourself? Have you listened to anything this week?
I've been listening to the Pillow Queens album a good bit, but not much new. I've been listening to It Could Happen to You, the Chet Baker album. I really like Chet Baker, so I've been listening to that again. Some nice, easy, lovely jazz to ease me into the autumn time.
The other thing that it's just been constant in the last week or so is the CMAT song.
I want to be
a cowboy baby. I know you're a fan. And the video came
out today. It's fantastic.
Another
dance for me to learn now.
It's been doing the rounds, that song. It's been just one of those constants in the last few weeks. So I've been really enjoying it. I'm watching Bake Off, but sure, like we've already discussed that now.
We've already discussed Bake Off. What else?
I watched, because we talked about it on the podcast.
My best friend's
wedding. I'd never seen it before.
Oh my god, we have to tell Denise. This is great.
Yeah, so in our chat with Denise Chyla, and God knows I'm early, a month ago now, you were discussing with Denise about My Best Friend's Wedding and how it's just so weird. It's just like, it's such a sign of the times that, you know, somebody who's basically trying to ruin somebody's life would be the main character.
I know. It's such an interesting thing because it takes the whole... Like, so when Denise and I were talking about it, we were talking about whether or not we like happy endings in films. And I was saying in my romantic comedies, which I am a huge, huge fan of that kind of film, I do like them to kiss at the end. Like, I'll feel a bit weird if they don't. But My Best Friend's Wedding does it so well because they kind of take all of the beats that you need for a romantic comedy, but completely turn on its head. And yeah, you do realize that you've actually been rooting for you're a grown person now seeing it for the first time and you've got a lot of kind of like understanding of this kind of stuff now. But I mean, when you watch it for the first time and you're like a 12 or a 13 year old, you're like, no, I totally want her to ruin the wedding and get the man. But then... Yeah, it's such a clever film. It's so, so smart. And I mean, that scene when what's her name? Cameron Diaz, when she stands up to do the karaoke, just completely fall in love with her. Like her character in it is amazing. My Best Friend's Wedding is so, so good. We watched Twister. I remember last week.
Oh, did you? Yes, you were going to report on it.
Oh my God. It is exactly Speed, but with a tornado. It's way cheesier than Speed. Like it's like there's bits in it. It's a Twister you haven't seen.
Yes.
You're right. So it's basically like this group of meteorologists in the 90s, and one of them is going off to get married. And he's like, no, I'm not involved with this anymore. I'm going to go become a weatherman. And then he has to come back and get his like divorce paper signed by his ex, blah, 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 blah. But he comes back and there's going to be a whole series of like insane storms and insane tornadoes. So when he comes back, they're like, we have to go chase the tornadoes. So they go to chase the tornadoes. And then there's like this rival group of meteorologists who are also chasing the same tornadoes. But they've sold out and they've got like corporate sponsorship. And it's just funny. It's so good. It's amazing.
Where did this come from?
Oh, my God. Like, and there's bits in it where they're like, you know, like, oh, you got to stop chasing these storms. And it's like, oh, it's all I have. And it's just, it's so cheesy. It's amazing.
It writes itself, really, if you want to write cliches.
It's unbelievable. I'd say, yeah, no, you would really, really, really enjoy it. So yeah, I really enjoyed that. That was great. I just laughed the whole way through it at how much I was enjoying it. I love a good cheesy film. I really do. It's great.
Me too. Mm. Speaking of non-cheesy films, though, I keep putting off. I want to see that. Is it Monos? It's on Netflix at the moment. I've been trying to keep meaning to watch it for the last 2 years, and now it's on Netflix, and I have not watched it yet because it looks serious. It looks heavy, but it's supposed to be great. So I'm going to use that as encouragement to watch it in the next week, hopefully.
Another film that I've watched is 1917, continuing in my vein of being really, really late to films that have been tipped for Oscars like 2 years ago. It was amazing. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
Yeah, I blew my mind. I thought it was absolutely stunning. It was really incredible, those central performances. Your man, the main fella in it, didn't even get nominated for Best Actor, which I was very surprised to come back and learn. No, genuinely shocking. Yeah. And so I've been going deep into like behind the scenes and how they made it, and it's so masterful. Like, it's great. I quite like waiting a couple of years after a big release comes out, and then I feel like I can just have my own opinion on it and not just like,
it's only a year, isn't take it? Less than a year,
maybe a year. Oh god, who knows? Like, but sometimes there's a lot of discourse around a film, like Tenet. Which I did go to see. Did we talk about that?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. Yeah. And you just kind of have to block out the discourse. So maybe waiting a year is nice. But I thought it was amazing. It was really, really good.
Yeah, absolutely. It's nice to have something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Which is, I did say I was going to watch all of the seasons of the final season of Sopranos. But instead, we just got to the final season instead. So that's it. A marker. It was like, I couldn't do 21 hours of The Sopranos over in one weekend. But I really want to finish it because there's a new season of Fargo coming and I want to watch that.
And finish it this weekend. You can definitely do that. Yeah. If you've only got like 12 hours left, you've got loads.
21 hours left. 21, it's a lot. It is a lot. We'll be back next week with good chats and music as ever.
We've had some breaking news. Tony Houlihan is back in the driver's seat for Monday.
He's our chief medical officer. Right.
He's back.
He must be doing okay.
Good man, Tony. Glad to hear it.
Need the steady hand of a Tony Hooley. Thank you very much, Andrea. Nice to chat to you in the daytime, as ever. And always good to chat to you, but still nice, even nicer to chat to you.
Even nicer in the daytime.
And not when we're about to go and make dinner. I keep talking about this like it's a problem, but it's just a novelty. That's all. It's just a novelty.
This is exciting. I hope everybody has a nice day today.
Give me a wave there, and I'll do a quick hello to everybody. Yeah, there we go.
No, okay. Oh god,
that's a screenshot. If it works, if it's all right, I'll share it with people. Thank you so much. Yeah, the patreon.com/909 if you want to hit the Roisin Murphy playlist and many other weekly playlists and themed playlists already there for you. That we appreciate your support. Thank you very much. And that's it from us this week. Thank you, Andrea.
Thank you, Niall. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you all for listening.
Happy October.
See ya.
Bye.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.